Y'all sounded good this morning. Did you sneak in here this week and sing with the choir? I bet you did. Matthew chapter 4. We're in lesson 9 of the contrast of God's Word. And as we understand some things, we're teaching sound bites. We're teaching contrasts of situations. And all. It's to understand the Bible, you have to rightly divide the Word of God, a word of truth. And if you know yourself by now, and if you believe that, it's made a world of difference in your life, hasn't it? It made a world of difference in your Bible studies. And that's what God wants us to do. God wants every man to be saved and what? Come to the knowledge of the truth. But we know that people's ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. But do we give up on them? No. We just say, this is what God says. This is how you study the Bible. And we can encourage people to grow. And a lot of people today, as you know, has been stung by religion, and have been, and they blame God, and they blame, you know, churches, and they blame this and blame that. And many of you have been there, and we can understand why, because when man puts his hands in God's word and God's program, he can mess it up, can't he? And as we study through the Word of God, the distinction between Israel and the body of Christ, between Jew and Gentile, we can understand that even Israel, God's chosen people, God's son, Israel, they didn't totally walk the way he told them to walk, right? And he constantly had to remind them until finally they just said, we're going to do what we want to. So when they came and they crucified, they cut John the Baptist's head off, they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, and they stoned Stephen, Israel's fallen. Israel's not who they are supposed to be today. So this today, in order to have a leader, we call it a chief apostle. And who would you say the chief apostle was in for the Israel's program? We say Peter. How about the body of Christ? We say Peter, right? Now, a lot of people would say Peter, so they continue to follow Peter, even in the dispensation of grace. But we're going to look at today is the chief apostle is Peter. Be turning to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Well, we talked about last lesson, verse 17 says, from this time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't preach that back there. Well, this is where he starts, right here, teaching and preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at what? Hand. Look at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And straightway, they straightway left their nets and followed him. There's two people in your Bible says, follow me. Right here's one of them. Who said that? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who's he talking to right there? Peter and Andrew, right? And he goes on over and talks about a few more other things. But Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Matthew, Mark. Verse 14 says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching to the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at what? Hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So what's the message here we looked at? Didn't we look at that last week? The central gospel of the kingdom program was the gospel of what? The kingdom. Okay? And he's preaching the gospel kingdom is at hand. And we looked, if you remember, was it offered in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Huh? Was it offered in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? It was at hand. It was there. We talk about the track table over there. It's at hand. Until you go over and pick it up, it's not offered. And it wasn't offered till Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And we looked at that last time. But verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were what? Fishers. It's the same thing that we just read. Verse 17, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. So Peter's following him, Andrew's following him. That's two of the 12. So he's going to make them what? Fishers of men. They're going to follow him and they're going to do what he says. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse 12 says, they returned into Jerusalem. Well, you know what he says in verse 8, but ye shall receive the Holy, receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the other posts, parts of the earth. They had a, how do you say it, a schedule, had a plan what they was going to go to, right? Where was it going to first? Jerusalem, then Judea, then where? Samaria, and then where? The other parts of the world, right? That's that plan. And they did that, didn't they? From the day one, they went everywhere. I'm being facetious here a little bit, but and he says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and in a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Which also he says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner, as ye have seen him go into the heavens. That's Matthew 24. He's coming back and all that. Luke chapter 21. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. And when they come in, they went up into the upper room, where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon, and Judas. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and the mother Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Verse 15. And in those days, who stands up? Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. If you know Second Chronicles in your little margin there, if you write 2 Chronicles chapter 5 verses 10 through 14, you'll see why there's 120 people in that upper room. Because there's 120 priests that's going to come out of that. That's Chronicles. So all this stuff is prophesied. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 verses 10 through 14. They number 120 there. And all of a sudden 120 appears here. It's like 3,000, 5,000, that type of thing. God knows how to put people back where he needs to be and how to use them. So who's standing up there? Peter stands up, right? And he talks about men and brethren. These scriptures must have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guided to them that took Jesus. Now, let's keep moving. Go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 35. again the next day after John stood and took and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saying unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, what? Master. Who else called him Rabbi? A lot of Pharisees and Sadducees called him Rabbi, did they not? But they never did call him Lord. Where dwellest thou? He said unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, what? The Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is interpreted, "a stone." So who's that? Peter. So he looked at him, he says, "You're not going to be called Simon no more. You're going to be what? Peter." And you know, there's a lot of Simons in the Bible. And a lot of Peters in the Bible too. Anyway, Matthew chapter 16. He looks at Peter. He says, "You're going to be a stone." Matthew 16. Well, you don't say you're going to be a stone. His name is just interpreted stone. Matthew 16. Verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they say, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremy, and one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the what? Living God." That's why it's very, very important when you ask people about which God you're talking about. He's asking them, who do you say that I am? Who would you say the Lord Jesus Christ is today if somebody asked you? Son of the living God too, right? You know, the glorified, risen Lord and Savior. You got to identify that. Verse 17, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not received it unto thee, but my Father which is in" what? Hey, we talk about Apostle Paul getting a revelation from heaven. What did that just say? Yeah. So he got a revelation too. Right? "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt let loose on earth shall be let loose in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." That always strikes me a little bit. You know, you're not going to tell nobody after you give me these keys. You know, you're going to let me bound up people in heaven and bound up people on earth and all this stuff. I need to tell the world, but it was not ready for him to do that. But who gets the keys? Peter does. And also, go to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. verse 10. Well, you know what verse 1 is, the first day of week, which is Sunday. And very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices that they were going to prepare for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they write, somebody's in there. Well, the angels, he is not here, verse 6, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when you was yet in Galilee. Verse 10, it was Mary Magdalene and with Joanna and the mother of Mary, the mother James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And these words seemed to them to be idle tales. Women don't talk like that. Right? That's supposed to be a little joke. But what did they looked at them? As idle tales, right? It's funny, I turned on Finding a Bigfoot, and this guy's writing a movie. He didn't want to do the movie, and the guy says, you have to do this documentary. We got to save these forests and stuff because Bigfoot stays in them. And he looked at them as idle tales. You know, he sit down and listen to these people, and they're talking all this stuff. An idle tale. What's God say? Jesus talks about that stuff, don't he? Stay away from them. And they believed them not. And they believed them not. Verse 12. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, and he beheld the linen cloth laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. What does Peter do? He gets up and runs there, right? He's like, where's he at? Where's he at? John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, and seeketh the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciples, which Jesus loved, and said unto them, thou have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. That's another him running there, right? John chapter 21. Okay, before we go there, let's keep reading a little bit. This is interesting. So they ran both together, and the other disciples did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And so he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in its place by itself. Then went in also the other disciples, which came first to the sepulchre. He saw and believed. You know, they got there before him, but they didn't go in there. You know, would you wonder why? That would be a good answer.
Probably something to do with cleansing, and they couldn't participate in Jewish stuff.
Well, who's not believing? That's a good answer too. But who went in before they did? We just read. Peter did. So if you're not really believing that he's gone, and you went in before me and you messed, you touched something or whatever. See, you messed something up. It's not worse. That's my opinion too. We all got good answers. But in any words, they didn't want to go in before Peter did because Peter, like you said, he's a leader, and he wanted to go in there first. He didn't want to go in there. They waited on him to go in there because, to me, if you go in there and mess up the evidence, it wouldn't hold up in court. He says, verse 9, "For as yet they knew not the Scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their home." What did he believe the body was gone?
Somebody took it,
right? There's no cross work there. But didn't he tell them back over? We would have looked up at Matthew 16:17, where he says, "From this point on, I must show you that I got to go to Jerusalem." He was with them telling that. So when you're teaching somebody and you're sharing some things, don't be surprised they don't get it right off the bat. You know, you know what I'm talking about? Like, they get upset and you get upset like you just don't get it. And don't call them a useful idiot, because ignorance is what? What's the definition for ignorance? No, not blessed. Ignorance means not knowing. And that's why Paul says, if they be ignorant, let them be what? Ignorant. So there's times you just want to give up on somebody and you just leave them alone, give them scriptures. So chapter 21. Verse 15. "So when they dying, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my what? Lambs. Verse 16. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verse 17. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lord, don't you know I can get it the first time? Well, did he get it the first time when he was with him? Did he learn about the death, burial, resurrection? You know, it's like, three times. How many times do you have to tell your children sometime to do something? Yeah, too many. Three times usually enough. Tell you one more time, you're going to get... Everything's three with the Lord. You ever notice that? Yeah. Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all these things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. So he's looking at Peter, looking at the little flock, he's saying, Feed my sheep. Now, what do you know about being fed? What's Peter going to feed them? The kingdom program. What's Peter's going to have to build that little flock up to understand some things, because the Lord Jesus Christ ain't there in the flesh any longer. But you have people out there today in the dispensation of grace wants to feed my sheep. We had an old preacher down home. What did he say? Sheep are stupid. You know, we used to giggle at that. But sheep is a very vulnerable person. People. I mean, animals. Thank you. Well, you think about today, what do they call you? If I was your pastor, what do they call that, you guys? Sheep. You're not sheep. You're saints of the Most High God. And, you know, but the thing is, you got to have a leader, right? You got to have somebody bring them out of things. And sheep is a reference that God used in the prophetic program for the nation Israel. The shepherd. Let's go to some contrast. Go to Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul comes along, and we know that we make a distinction with Paul and Peter and Paul. We know there's a distinction between law and grace. We know that there was a lawgiver, which was named who? Moses. And we know there's a grace giver and a dispensation of grace known as Apostle Paul. Go to Romans chapter 1. When Apostle Paul was saved, we'd already looked at this a little bit. His mission was to go to Gentiles and to kings and then the nation Israel. What did we find out what Peter and them was supposed to go? Go to Israel, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the other parts of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, comes back unto them on chapter 2 in Acts in the upper room. And what did they do? They went out in the world, didn't they? No. When the stoning of Stephen came around, where was the apostles that Lord Jesus Christ told them to go? Stayed in Jerusalem. Why? Not only afraid, but why? Not only persecution, but why? That's where the king would come back to. He would come back to the, if this is the city of God, the king's coming back right here. That's why they wondered. Chapter 1, verse 6 of Acts says, Lord, when will you again restore the kingdom to who? Israel. That's the first question they asked him. You left us. You promised us. Then Paul comes along. Acts chapter 9. Go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Paul makes no bones about who he's apostle to. I'm apostle to the Gentiles. I'm apostle to the Gentiles. Chapter 11, verse 13. I'm going to look at John right quick. I've got John. Okay. Chapter 11, verse 13, Romans. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Paul's telling you right then and there he's apostle to the Gentiles. Now, who's the Gentiles? Nations. Okay, and you could call them uncircumcised. You could call them all this. But you know something very, very funny. Not funny. But he says also in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 16. That I should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, administering the gospel of God, that offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. He says in verse 15, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting in your mind, because the grace that is given to me of God. He tells you over there, and verse 8, chapter 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was the minister of circumcision for the truth, to confirm the promises of God. Back there, wherefore I speak unto you Gentiles, as much as I am apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. You know what John 13, 20 says? John 13, 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Would Paul fall in that category? Listen to it again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that received whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. That's Paul. So when you receive Paul's message, you're receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're receiving Paul's apostleship, You understanding it's not Peter, it's Paul. That's why Paul says, I magnify my office. Paul's making a big to-do of that, isn't he? How many can you say, I magnify my office? Some of you have been in positions that managers, owners, or whatever the case may be. You can say, hey, I'm the owner of this place, and I magnify my office. Because you're making a big to-do out of it. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you what? Gentiles, if ye have heard the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand the knowledge of my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. Listen, if we don't have his writings, how can you understand the mystery of Christ? You would just be out there still back over here, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as is now revealed by the holy prophets and holy apostles and prophets and by the Spirit, that the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, and to me the effectual working of his power. Paul is the great grace giver. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior. What's good? Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's what's good in the sight of God. I posted something on the Facebook page the other day about hell is not full of people that the Lord rejected. It's full of people that rejected the Lord. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for what? All. To be testified in due time. Y'all know what Matthew 20 says in Matthew 26. His blood was shed for many. And you wasn't a part of that many, guys. Verse 7. Wherefore I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of Gentiles in faith and verity. He's making a big to-do about his apostleship for us Gentiles. He is the apostle of the Gentiles. Once you're saved, you come out of that Gentiles, you're a member of the body of Christ. What does chapter 1 say? Chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, who I am chief. Howbeit for this cause, what cause? Came in sinners. Also, he's chief of that sinner, right? Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long sufferings for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Paul's got, we have a pattern. Sometimes you can figure out something. You got a pattern in your head, right? And you want to put something on, but what works best, you draw out that pattern, right? You cut that pattern out, and then you lay that piece of material on there, and you can cut that material out. Otherwise, if you're doing this, well, I think it's this way, and I think it's that way, and you end up wasting material, don't you? Very possible. But the thing is, we have a pattern. What did he say? We should really think about that for a minute. To them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Now, who's the him there? Christ Jesus. Hereafter. Can Peter say that? Would Paul say, what you just read for Paul, he said, hereafter, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So who's first? But what does he say right there? This, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus might show forth. So his apostleship in the body of Christ, he's the first member of the body of Christ. Now these kingdom saints over here, they've got a lot of people in there. They really do. But Paul can't say in me first and Peter first. You see what I'm saying? You got first and hereafter. So where does that start at? Where would you start at? You think about what we read about Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we saw that last week. Let's look at it one more time. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 right quick. Get Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says, From that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at what? What does it say? From that time right there, not chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, early part of 4, but from that time right there, he starts to repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He begins to preach that. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And there's some years gone by here. 27, 28, 29, 30, 32. There's 3 years going by here, right? 2.5 years, 3 years. How long Lord Jesus Christ on this earth in his ministry? 30 years? Okay. But when did he become a preacher? When did he get okay, age 30 is when he got baptized, okay? When was he crucified? 3 years, 3.5 years later, right? It's interesting that this is 3.5 years into the tribulation period. What happens? Everything breaks loose, right? But getting back to from this time forward, he began to preach. What does chapter 16, verse 21 say? From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And what did he call Peter after that? Get behind me, Satan. You're not stopping me. But he begins to show about his death, burial, and resurrection. He didn't preach that before. So when you think about from this time forth, that's what I'm trying to hereafter, what did Lord Jesus Christ start to preach? That too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but Paul's first, And hereafter, he's going to show some things about what Jesus Christ is going to do. He didn't tell you that earlier in Acts chapter 9 when he received, he didn't get all the revelations. It took some time to say, and Paul understood, but in me first. He's going to show some long force suffering. What is the dispensation of grace all about, guys? What's God doing in a dispensation of grace? But what's he doing also? What do we say he's doing? Okay, keep going. Where's the wrath and judgment at? So he's long suffering. And so he's showing some things. He's not. So what's our reconciliation? That 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll close. 2 Corinthians. By the way, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says, "Be ye followers of me as I am also a Christ." So that's what Paul says. Chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, verse 17, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new, and all things are of God who hath, that's a done deal, isn't it? Receiveth. Reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit. What's the deal here? Why? That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. He's not imputing trespasses and sin. He's definitely long-suffering. So that gives you a right to do anything you want to do out there. You can abuse it all you want to. Go to Titus. I told you it was closing. Titus. Titus chapter 2. We talk about times past, but now and ages come a lot here, right? And you know there's three distinctions in your Bible, that three categories that things fall into. Time past, but now and ages come. Things happen yesterday, things happen today, things happen tomorrow. I once formed a sentence about some former people and their administration. This has done this, or have done this, and this is has doing it. And this woman says, you can't do has, past tense, and present in the same sentence. Can you? Can you form a sentence and have past tense and present in the same sentence? Okay. Well, apparently this woman knows what she's talking about, because it sounded good to me. But anyway, verse 11, Titus chapter 2, page 1284. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Is that past tense? Where did the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men? So Paul was talking, there's something happened in times past in his program. So where did the grace of God bring forth salvation have appeared to all men? Could be on Calvary or him. Here it is. Verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we shall live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world. What's that? That's but now. That's present tense, right? That's the same sentence. I'm not finished yet. You have past. You have present. What's going on right now? If God's long-suffering, which He is, and we got a reconciliation, we can do anything we want to do.
Teaching us that denying worldly love.
That's what grace teaches us. You grace believers, you can say you do anything you want to.
Why would you?
Why would you? Yeah. But people say, well, you know, if I can if I want to. I'm still saved, sealed, and sanctified. But what does grace teaches us? Deny that. Stop. 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 You know, me and my wife talks a little bit about our cell phones. Sometimes we go out where we're sitting at the house and she's on her cell phone, I'm on my cell phone. And she's looking at me and sometimes I'm looking at her and she's like, why have we got this on? You had to beat that phone down just the same you beat this flesh down. And it wars with me because she's right. And I'm usually 99% right. But that 1% she's right, she's right. You know, people goes out restaurants with their family, we was talking about earlier, and everybody's got their cell phone. And everybody's mind somewhere else, but what are you going to eat? Go ahead and order, I'll get it next. Because they're so compelled, and I'm just as guilty. I use my cell phone, I say, well, I use it for ministry needs. Well, other things are on there too. And that sometimes it's just an excuse not to communicate. That's the thing, people don't communicate no more. So what is verse 13 says? Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Where's that at? Ages to come. So right there you had time past, but now and ages come, right in those three verses. But you can't have past and present in the same sentence. I'll just throw that out there. But the thing is, Paul even shows you what's going on here in Titus. So I don't know if y'all ever thought that interesting. We may have to use that again on down the road, but another lessons or two. But the thing is we got to know who we are in Christ Jesus first and foremost, amen? And once you know that, you can be able to talk to people. Don't be afraid to talk. Listen, I'm an extrovert. If I see somebody by themselves, I usually go talk to them. Because I hate to see somebody by themselves. In a restaurant or, you know, just casually walking by or whatever. Now, they may look at you and say, what are you doing in my face? My son and his, what would you call Josh's? Okay, his boss, where he cuts hair. They throw their barber chairs in my truck, and we went to the VFW that Gordon belongs to, and they cut hair for veterans for free. And they had a car show and food and all that stuff. I mean, it, biggest they had in 6 years. And where was I going with this? Oh, the night before we took that stuff over there, right? On Friday night, because he's setting it up Saturday. And Josh, you know, there's veterans in there. You had to be a veteran of foreign war to go in there. You know, you had to be a part of. And Josh walked up to this one guy, he goes, so you gonna get a haircut tomorrow? And that guy come and had some few choice words to Josh. He says, what are you even saying? Or something like, yeah, who are you? And Josh looked at him. He says, I cut your hair last year. Oh, you. So, you know, you got to be careful who you walk up to sometimes. But once you break that ice and say, hey, what do you know about Jesus Christ? Talk to him a little bit. You know, you can talk about the Browns, how they 0-3 in the preseason. Then, you talk about something glorious. But anyway, my prayer to you and those that are listening is the fact that you know what God says. Salvation is here. It's a done deal. Grace teaches us to deny some things. And that blessed of hope taking us out here in ages to come, that's a glorious day and a glorious fulfillment that God promised us. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until next week.